good evening. Welcome back once again to One Step Beyond. I'm going to give you a rundown now of what we're going to be talking about in tonight's second installment of an ongoing archive series entitled Destabilization of the USSR in Eastern Europe, a prelude to World War III. And we're going to begin by taking a look at an editorial that appeared in the, or part of an editorial, I really should say, that appeared in the San Francisco Sunday Examiner and Chronicle on February 24th of this year. The rumination of an individual I'm not particularly fond of, William Randolph Hearst, whose political opinions basically fall somewhere to the right of those of Ivan the Terrible. He, however, has some interesting things to say here, and I think it reflects quite accurately the viewpoint of the American right on not only on the future of American and Soviet relations, but also on the recent abortive peace initiative by President Mikhail Gorbachev. He made an unsuccessful attempt to forestall the ground attack in Kuwait, and his peace initiative failed. And in the opinion of William Randolph Hearst, that represented an unsuccessful attempt by Gorbachev to defend the Soviet Union's southern flank, and that is exactly how I view the situation. So we will peruse some of the views of William Randolph Hearst, Jr., and by doing so, we will get an idea, I think, of just how the right sees what's going on, and in case people had not noticed, the far right, literally fascist elements, are firmly in control in these United States, and if that seems incredible or fantastic, well, stick around, because reality is the best of all educators, in my opinion. From that very same San Francisco Sunday Examiner and Chronicle, we will be viewing another analysis article, which develops further how the right sees the unsuccessful Gorbachev peace initiative and what this portends both for the Soviet Union and for U.S.-Soviet relations. This particular article forecasts that those relations may very well be suffering. It is my opinion that those relations have been intended to suffer, and that what has been forecast as the end of the Cold War is not the end of the Cold War at all, but rather a period which could be compared in certain respects with the land grab that Hitler acquired prior to the Second World War. Recall that Hitler was able to acquire first the Rhineland, then the Sudetenland, Austria, then the Sudetenland, and then all of Czechoslovakia without firing a shot. I think the forces of political reaction in this in the West, have been able to do something very similar with the so-called coming of democracy to Eastern Europe. It is non-socialist, all right, but as we will be seeing, what is happening in Eastern Europe is not democratic by any stretch of the imagination. Not to say that there are not democratic elements there, but they are not in ascendancy, and I think basically history will show that what is happening now in Eastern Europe is not the return of democracy, although really Eastern Europe was never democratic, not even before the Soviets put Eastern Europe under their thumb, but rather what we are seeing is the return of fascism to Eastern Europe. And many of the countries which had previously been in the Warsaw Pact, which is in the process of dissolving, it has been formally set to dissolve for later this year, countries notably Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria all fought on the side of the Axis in the Second World War. East Germany, of course, was part of the Third Reich. Poland was basically a fascist country prior to the Second World War, although because it lay in between the USSR and Germany, and because the Poles themselves were too nationalistic to allow the Germans to acquire their territory peacefully, as they did in Czechoslovakia, Poland wound up being the first and in many ways the most brutalized, well, with the exception of the USSR, the most brutalized of all of Hitler's victims. Poland, however, was an anti-Semitic dictatorship under a fellow named Marshal Pilsudski, and when Pilsudski died in 35, one of his flunkies, whose name I forget offhand, took over and essentially continued the same policies, fiercely anti-labor, fiercely anti-Semitic, and basically fascistic. What is going on in Eastern Europe, I suspect, may very well at some point lead to a Third World War. It depends on whether or not the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, and beyond that the Soviet military, agree to go peacefully and quietly under the weight of the destabilization now going on. That may happen, but I would not bet on it personally, and One of the problems with politics and with war, and as von Clausewitz, the Prussian military theoretician, observed, war is a continuation of policy by other means. Often things go wrong, a friction von Clausewitz spoke about, and things may go wrong in the planned and ongoing destabilization of the USSR and Eastern Europe. If they do, I think we may very well have a Third World War. As incredible as that might seem at the moment, we will then take a look, after looking at those two pieces of information from the Examiner Chronicle from 2/24/91, we will look at an article from the San Jose Mercury News of Thursday, February 21st of 1991, talking about how irritated George Bush was with Gorbachev's peace efforts, and I myself would not be terribly surprised to see Gorbachev assassinated. There might be a lot of different, I think there are a lot of different elements in the Soviet Union that could be used to assassinate Gorbachev. I suspect that many of those elements can and perhaps are being controlled by elements of the U.S. intelligence community. My feeling is, I think there's a distinct possibility. I won't say that it will happen, but I think it's possible that by attempting to protect the Soviet southern flank, Gorbachev may have signed his own death warrant. It may be that Gorbachev's assassination has been intended for some time. My own feeling is that he, in many ways, could be compared with Lee Harvey Oswald. He has been used. I think he now realizes he has been used. He may be attempting to reverse some of what has happened, and if he attempts to reverse what has happened to any significant extent, I would be willing to bet that he gets assassinated, or that he will die of a, quote, natural death, unquote. Natural, of course, in quotes, and those of you who have listened to this program know what I mean by that. Gorbachev himself, in an article that we will be looking at from the Mercury of Wednesday, February 27th of 1991, warned that Chile-U.S.-Soviet relations might result from a rejection of the peace initiative. Well, that peace initiative, of course, was rejected. We will see what happens. Following that, we will take a musical break, and then I'm going to read another article from a very, very important issue of Covert Action Information Bulletin. This particular issue is Covert Action Information Bulletin's issue number 35. Its theme is Friendly Enemies, the CIA in Eastern Europe. And for those of you who would like to subscribe to Covert Action Information Bulletin or obtain issue number 35 from the fall of 1990, CAIB is a quarterly, you can contact Covert Action Information Bulletin. Their address is P.O. Box 34583. Box 34583. That's in Washington, D.C., 20043. Once again, Covert Action Information Bulletin, P.O. Box 34583, Washington, D.C., 20043. It's a very worthwhile publication, and this is an extremely important issue, arguably their most important issue. We're going to be looking at a very important article in this issue, which will serve as, in many ways, the foundation for the rest of this archive series, this particular article by Sean Gervasi, G-E-R-V-A-S-I, is entitled, appropriately enough, A Full Court Press, The Destabilization of the Soviet Union. And I think this article is a very important and very incisive article and will shed a lot of very important light, it will clarify in many ways just what was going on vis-a-vis Ronald Reagan's national security policy. Many people thought Ronald Reagan intended a nuclear war. Actually, I think Gervasi makes an excellent point that the Soviets were made to think that same thing and that that was used to put pressure on the Soviet Union. This particular article talks about destabilization involving two basic things, one pressure from the outside, external pressure, and the other disruption and internal pressure. On the broadcast this evening, we will be looking primarily at external pressure. Last week we began by looking at the manifestation of internal pressure, the National Endowment for Democracy, an oxymoron if ever there was one, a misnomer if ever there was one. That organization is anything but democratic and is not promoting democracy, quite the contrary. It basically promotes fascism. That institution has been utilized to re-inject fascist elements into Lithuania. Lithuania. The two main vehicles for that being the Lithuanian Catholic Relief, LCRA, Lithuanian Catholic Relief Aid, and the other is the LIC, the Lithuanian Information Center. It's Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, excuse me, and the other is the Lithuanian Information Center. The two are inextricably linked, being used by NED to basically re-inject fascist elements into Lithuania or to resurrect fascist elements into Lithuania. I expressed the opinion last week, and I think facts will bear me out and the events will bear me out, that with the U.S. conducting a huge and very successful military adventure on the Soviet Union's southern flank, that the destabilization of the Baltics, which are now moving in the direction of independence, represents an attempt to outflank the Soviets, or represents a flanking maneuver on their northern flank. I do not think that the Soviet national security establishment is going to tolerate the loss of the Baltics, because it would permit NATO naval forces, including U.S. carrier air fleets and Tomahawk missiles, to operate with virtual impunity right off of the Soviets' coast. And if you take some of the weaponry that was used in Iraq and move it right up close to the Soviet Union and equip it with nuclear warheads, well, you have something that I don't think the Soviets are going to tolerate. I expressed the belief last week that eventually the sort of crackdown which we already have seen in Lithuania will be used to restart the Cold War. It is already being used to justify the continuation of NATO, even though the Warsaw Pact has dissolved. And beyond that, some of the former Warsaw Pact nations are talking about forming ties with NATO. We read that into the archives last week. That also, I think, will help to destabilize the Soviet Union. It certainly is not going to make the Soviet political and military leadership feel any more secure. And it is my fear that ultimately we may see, I would be willing to bet there will be a nuclear incident of some kind. There might even be a Third World War. Something I want to cover in weeks to come. I'm going to try and contact Lanny Sinkin, formerly Director of Litigation for the Christic Institute. He has now left the Christics, but in a phone conversation with Lanny some time ago, he mentioned that there had been a report out of the Soviet Union that some nuclear weapons had been, quote, compromised, unquote. Be interesting to see if civil war does, in fact, ensue in the Soviet Union, and if the predictions that will happen are accurate, whether we have a nuclear incident in the Soviet Union. Not a very appetizing prospect, particularly for the Soviets, but given the fact that radiation would be spread all over the world, just like it was with Chernobyl, and B, that might trigger a Third World War, it's not something I think we should feel very good about either. Following this very, very important article, once again, The Destabilization of the Soviet Union by Sean Gervaisi, we will take a look at an article in today's San Jose Mercury News, today being Sunday, March 10th of 1991, a very important article by Jeffrey Klein. Jeffrey Klein is a fellow who has written a book called The Black Hole Affair, and he talks basically about the Gulf War, quote, mother of Star Wars, and how the Strategic Defense Initiative is being retailored as a result of the success of the Patriot missiles. We're going to be taking a look at that, and I will be discussing this in the context of the pressure that this will no doubt put on the Soviet national security establishment to continue high levels of military spending in order to assure a rough military parity or something approximating that. That, of course, will plays still more strain on the already badly sagging Soviet economy. That also, in turn, figures to heat up the tempers of the Soviet people, already badly inflamed, and that figures to further destabilize the Soviet Union. It is my opinion, and I think the facts argue very strongly in this regard, that the war in the Middle East had been planned for some time, and that the United States had baited Saddam Hussein into invading Kuwait, and that this entire operation was planned well in advance. Not only was this not, in my opinion, and those of quite a few other people, not only was this not a spontaneous reaction to an act of aggression, an unanticipated act of aggression, on the contrary, this is something which had been planned for some time, and I am going to read into the archives this evening a very, very important article that I have read before. I have not placed it in the archives. This comes from the London Sunday Observer of October 21st of 1990. It's titled U.S. Oil Plot Fueled Saddam, and I will read almost the entire article into the archives this evening. Following that, we're going to look at a piece of an editorial by Walter Lacker in the Los Angeles Times from this past Friday being March 8th of 1991, and it talks about a return or a rise, a projected rise of the Soviet hardliners and a return to the Cold War. And this is exactly, in my opinion, what elements in this country and probably Germany and Japan as well have in mind. We will discuss that and what it portends for the future. I am not, to say the least, optimistic. We will talk about Walter Lacker and some views with which I agree. I do, from what I've seen here, I do not agree with what Walter Lacker generally has to say, but I do. Well, it comes from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, which we will be talking about, a very important right-wing think tank with very close ties to the Reagan and Bush administrations and the national security establishment in general. But I think Walter Lacker, just like William Randolph Hearst, has some thinking here which we would do well to observe, because I think it reflects not only the views of the fascist elements in ascendance in this country at the moment, but also it portends for, I think, very accurately and ominously for the future. We're then going to take a look at two articles. I'm really only going to read the headlines, and this is by way of looking ahead to some of the information we're going to be talking about next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about internal interference in the Soviet Union. We began by looking at that last week, specifically the NED using LCRA and LIC to re-inject fascist elements into Lithuania. And next week, we're going to be taking a look at people like Paul Weyrich and the so-called and, again, inappropriately named Free Congress Foundation, and their interference, their blatant interference in Soviet affairs, and ties between the American far right and, of all people, Boris Yeltsin. Boris Yeltsin has intensified his attack on President Gorbachev, and we will be taking a look at Yeltsin, and by way of looking ahead to next week. We're going to read, or actually just look at the headline from an article from the San Jose Mercury News of Monday, March 4th, and we will also be taking a look at an article from today's San Jose Mercury, today being March 10th of 1991, that Yeltsin intensifies heat on Gorbachev, and just exactly why he did that and why he attacked Gorbachev and accused him of plotting a dictatorship just as Gorbachev was launching this peace initiative. Well, we will ruminate about that a bit this evening, and we will go into it in much greater length next week. I'm going to take another musical break, and then we're going to come back with the main body of tonight's archive show, The Destabilization of the USSR in Eastern Europe, a prelude to World War III.